Our scripture reading for today is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Please be seated.
Immorality, USA, number 3. That probably sounds kind of strange. In 1963, a brother of ours named Jimmy Allen, who had just been a professor at Harding University for a short time, began preaching a sermon that he called Immorality, USA. And in 1966, after I'd been at Oklahoma Christian for just one semester, I started hanging out with the preacher boys. And Brother Hugo McCord called these boys his preacher boys. And I stayed close to them for the rest of my time there. And we used to listen to Jimmy Allen's sermons on a reel-to-reel tape player. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're too young. But at any rate, we thrilled at his voice. And we listened to this sermon. In 1964, Brother Allen had this sermon published in a booklet form. It had become so very popular and so timely. And then in the spring of 1966, towards the latter part of the spring, Brother Allen held a meeting at Oklahoma Christian in Hardeman Auditorium. And I thrill in my heart every time I think of this, even today. To hear him on tape was one thing, but to hear him and see him in person and to see the results of his preaching and teaching was just a joy. And I don't believe that Brother Allen ever served as a located preacher. The last I knew, Brother Allen retired from Harding University after 50 years, and he was filling in for the church in Delight, Arkansas. However, in Brother Allen's career in proclaiming the gospel of Christ, it is said that, or was reported by Joy McMillan from Oklahoma Christian, that he had conducted over 1,400 gospel meetings. He had had tens of thousands of responses and tens of thousands of baptisms as a result of the invitations that he offered and based on his teaching. Brother Allen was, according to Joy McMillan, And I believe it's true, when people who knew him or ever heard of him, when they hear his name, automatically evangelist comes into the mind, because that's what he was, a professor of the Bible and an evangelist. Powerful, powerful speaker. I never will forget that spring in 1966, where me and Brother McCord's preacher boys, Harding Auditorium seats about 1,500 people, and it has an aisle down the middle, and it has theater seats. And I remember my friends and I were sitting with Hardiman Nichols, who was a young preacher at that time, right on this side, about four rows back. It is so vivid. And Jimmy Allen, if he's still alive, and I tried my best to find that information, and I couldn't, but if he's still alive, he would be 86 years old. But when he retired, his plan was to continue preaching and holding meetings for as long as possible. Aaron, I just got to speak with Aaron for briefly this morning, and he had classes with Brother Allen. I never had that privilege, but I can tell you this. Brother Allen could preach for 50 minutes, and nobody would be looking at their watch. And then he would offer the invitation. And people came. It was so uplifting and so amazing. And then, since there was no baptistry on campus, then we would all go over to the Memorial Road Church of Christ and witness the baptisms. That week was one of the most memorable. It was the week I remember the best, okay? I feel like Elmer Fudd this morning. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. It was so wonderful. Well, in my feeble way, I attempted in 1984 to give an update to Brother Allen's sermon to this congregation from this pulpit. I'm sure you all remember. You all remember that. At any rate, as I was thinking about the state of things in this country, I thought it's time for another update. And so that's why I'm calling this Immorality USA number 3. Now, this sermon will never be published, okay? This is it right here. However, the things, and it's going to be relatively brief. I'm not going to preach for 50 minutes. But the few things that we have time to discuss, or that I have time to discuss with you this morning, are things that you're not going to hear out in the public, because they're not politically correct. If you do hear them out in the public, you will only hear them in whispers. You know, someone may whisper something to you because for fear of being heard saying something that is not acceptable by our society. I'm going to, in violation of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 through 12 that was just read, I'm going to talk about some things that are, and I know they're shameful for us to even speak of. But the situation, and I don't know if Paul ever envisioned this, but our children are hearing these things every day. And they are being told that they need to have a different attitude about these things than what we read about in the Bible. And they have examples in the schools of these things. And their sins, really. And they're known to our children. Our children are not stupid. They hear about these things and they know about these things. And so I believe that we have to talk about these things because we need to remember the truth so that we're not led away into false teaching. And our children need to hear the truth from us, their parents, and they need to hear the truth from leaders in the church. And so I'm trying to do that today. You know, Ephesians 5, chapters 11 and 12 talk about darkness. In the United States of America, Americans, I think, have been accustomed to the darkness. This society is accepting dark things. Now, I'm not going to pretend that this is the first time in the history of the world that that has ever happened. But it's happening here, and it's getting darker. Americans in the United States of America speak about shameful things that people don't do in the darkness anymore. They do these things in the light. You know, there are illusions on television. There are illusions in the movies. One can hardly go to a movie anymore unless it's a Walt Disney movie rated G. There's that much exposure out there in commercials, on the news. It's everywhere. In Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 11, Paul wrote, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Have you thought about that? We don't know when the Lord's going to return. But one thing for sure, the final seal on our salvation is coming when He returns. And so all of us are closer to that. We're nearer to that time than when we first believed. And those that are in the audience this morning who've never obeyed the gospel of Christ, I would appeal to you to, if you understand that Christ is your Savior, the Son of God, and that He offered Himself for your sins, and that for you to become in Christ, that all you need to do is confess His name and be buried with Him in baptism, and your sins are forgiven. When you come up out of that water, you've died to sin, and at that moment in time, you can stand before our Father, the God of heaven, the God of multitudes, and stand justified, uncondemned. And then from that point on, if you sin and you do what the Apostle John wrote and you confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ will continue to forgive you of your sins. And you remain uncondemned. You can remain uncondemned for the rest of your life and not have to fear the possibility of that fiery place that's described in the Bible that's called hell. Continuing on in Romans chapter 13 and verses in verse 11, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, decently as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Brothers and sisters, friends, neighbors, if there are things that you do in darkness because you don't want people to know, those are things that Paul was talking about here. You don't want to live with the guilt of things done in darkness. You want to live in the light of the Spirit. You want to live in the things that are taught us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. If you will do that, you will be happy and you will enjoy a peace that Paul tells us surpasses all understanding. And Christ Jesus made that peace possible by reconciling us to His Father. I think that's the only peace we can really have on this earth. The peace of knowing that we're reconciled to our Father through Jesus Christ. And we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear eternity. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Don't allow the flesh to overcome the Spirit. There are things, actions in the United States of America today that need to be exposed in the light of the Word of God. And we know how God's Word, as revealed through the Holy Spirit, is expressed to us as light all the way through the Scriptures. That's where the light is. That's where we need to go. There are things in the United States of America that need to be called what they are. They've been given names that kind of makes them sound like, well, they're not really so bad. But these are names that have been given by men. These are names that our children are being taught. And they're being taught with the names of these things. These things aren't so bad after all. They're really just part of our society, and after all, they're really just choices that people make. Well, they're choices that in many cases are very dark. I want us to look specifically at two issues that kind of are. The first one is actually probably more than one issue, but I want to look at married and unmarried pregnancies in the United States today. The latest statistics that I could find that were released in September of 2016, so they're getting close to a year old, but it's difficult to find a really current information about these things. The marriage rate in our nation right now in the USA is 6.8 marriages per 1,000 people. 6.8 marriages per 1,000 people. The divorce rate is 3.4 divorces per 1,000 people. Well, I'm not very good at math, but even I can figure out that the divorce rate is 50% of the marriage rate. Here's another one, and this one really bothers me because I believe in education. The more education that a person has, the less likely that they will marry. You know, we have a large part of our population today that is just not getting married. They're not making a legal commitment to one another in a formal way. The probability that a first marriage will last 10 years is 1 in 15. 1 in 15. The probability that a first cohabitation, I won't say what the colloquial term is for that, but I'm sure you've all heard it. The probability that a first cohabitation will result in marriage in 1 year is 1 in 47. 1 in 47. Those are not good odds. And what's happened is, instead of people marrying, They're cohabitating. They're cohabitating. They're living together. Unmarried pregnancies. Unmarried pregnancies increased in this country from 6% in 1900 to more than 49% in 2010. Amongst the Western developed countries, the United States of America since 1900 has had the highest, and this has been consistent, the highest rate of unmarried pregnancies in the Western free world. By the end of this decade, children with married parents will be the minority. There'll be more children from parents who are not married than there are children from parents who are, because more and more people are cohabitating. Fewer people are getting married, and more unmarried couples are having babies, and those families are being approved by our society. And often you'll hear, working with people in financial aid, Russ hears this, I heard this when I was there. We'll be talking to a couple and we're trying to figure out, one of the things you have to know is that, what their marital status is. And you ask them, well, are you married? No, we've been together, so long. And we hear that a lot. When I remember before I turned the financial aid office at Dodge City Community College over to Russ, I had a couple come in, and Russ, you may remember this. They were an unmarried couple. They were both planning to go to school, and they had two children, and they were both listing the two children on their income tax returns. And so we got them into the office, and sitting in front of me, I can see it as clear as the day it happened, they were fighting with each other over who had the right to claim those children on their tax returns. And I said, now wait a minute. You've already said you're not married. Are you living together? Oh, yes, we live together. We've been together since forever how long. And they're fighting over who's going to claim their two children on their income tax return. Immoral sexual activity has become a way of life in the United States of America. And it's a way of life that is quickly becoming the norm rather than the exception. Well, what does the Bible say? That's what's important to us. Regardless of what happens in our nation, regardless of what mankind think, do, and act, what the Bible says is what's important to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "Flee sexual immorality." The King James Version used the word fornication. And so your version may be a little different. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. So this is not, sexual immorality is not just a sin against our Savior. It's not just a sin against our Heavenly Father. This is a sin against our own bodies, our own selves, not to mention our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sexual immorality or fornication is related to a word That's a Greek word, porneo, and we get our English word pornography from this. It's defined as, generally, a voluntary sexual intercourse between persons not married to each other. So that's a pretty broad definition. So I want to ask, is cohabitation sexual immorality? And if Brother Allen were here, he would say, if not, why not? And I'm going to ask in his stead, if you'll forgive me, is fornication sexual immorality? If not, why not? You know, Brother McCord's preacher boys usually needed a song leader when they went out on their preaching assignments. And you'll find this hard to believe, but I went with those guys and I was their song leader. And you may not believe this, but when I was 21 and 22, my voice had not completely changed yet, and I was a soprano. And I was pretty good, too. I led singing one time for Virgil Trout during a meeting there at Oklahoma Christian. Some of you, I think Brother Trout is still living. We saw him at an Oklahoma Christian graduation not too long ago. We need to use, regardless of what people in the United States of America say, we need to use Bible names and terms for Bible things. We need to use Bible names and terms for the good and positive things, and we need to use Bible names and terms for the things that are not so positive, the things that are named that are sinful. I want to talk about, just briefly, homosexuality, and it's been classed in a large group, lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender. And we see it a lot as LGBT. And these statistics to me are astonishing. These are the latest statistics. It's estimated that the LGBT population, percent of our population in the United States of America, is about 3.8%. 3.8%, very small. The lesbian gay part of this is about 1.7%, less than 2% of our population. Extremely small. The bisexual part of this is about 1.8%, and then the transgender is about 0.3%. In other words, 0.3%. Well, what does the Bible say? In Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, the command that was given by God the Father to Moses was, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. An abomination. Leviticus 20, verse 13 says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. What is an abomination? It's something that is vile, shameful, detestable. And then the Lord goes on, as he spoke through Moses, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And there are a lot of examples that we can use from the Old Testament. They're pretty graphic. And for the sake of our children, I really don't want to mention those this morning, and also for the sake of time. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 1, the last part of verse 26 and then verse 27, Paul says, God gave them up. He's talking about people that violate the commandments of God. God gave them up to vile passions. There's that word vile again. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you all. If we look at homosexuality, gay, lesbian, life, what's called a lifestyle in America today, I've never been able to understand that. I can't think of anything in all of God's creation that is more unnatural. And I can't be the only one, because some of the stories that we have of incidents that happened during the Old Testament times, I think reveal that those people had similar feelings about this. Are lesbians women who lie with women as with a man? Is this a sin or a lifestyle? Are gays men who lie with men as with a woman? Is this a sin or is this a lifestyle? Is women lying with women as with a man unnatural and sinful? If not, why not? That's what Brother Allen would say. Is men lying with men as with a woman unnatural and sinful? If not, why not? Bible names for Bible things. Bible terms for Bible terms. You know, man's wisdom, so-called wisdom, is often wrong. Some of you may remember when we were told to, if you burn yourself, you know, you spill boiling water on your hand, or you pick up something hot, then you immediately put butter on the burn. Right? Wrong. Now we're told that the best thing you can do is get the burned area under cold running water as quickly as you can. And then there are other steps after that. I can't tell you how many salt tablets that I used to have to take in the Army when I first got in, because it was thought that the best thing you can do for prevention of heat exhaustion or heat stroke is you take salt tablets. So we had to take salt tablets at every meal. Guess what? That was wrong. What are we told today? Hydrate. Drink plenty of water. You don't take salt tablets. You drink water. You drink water. And there are a lot of people that heed this now. That's why you see people everywhere you go, they're carrying a bottle of water. And it works. So the things that men, and there are other things that we could talk about, practical things. There are many things that we've been told throughout our lives that end up being, well, that's not right. It's really better to do this. Well, that's what we're being told now. We're being told that there are some things that are, well, it's just a lifestyle. You know, it's nothing to get upset about. I want to say this. We do not hate sinful people. We do not hate sinful people. Our Savior died for all of us, even for the ones who will never obey His gospel. Now, that's a sad thing, but it illustrates His love. And we're told throughout the New Testament to love one another as Jesus loved. He's the example. We're not supposed to hate people. We're supposed to correct people in love. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. And in Romans 3, the latter part of verse 22 and verse 23, for there is no difference, for all of us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. We tend to think that one sin is worse than another, but that really isn't true. Paul tells us that if we fail in one sin with reference to the law, we have violated the whole law. But thanks be to God, we are not under the law. We are under the salvation that was provided by Jesus Christ to all men and women everywhere, not just in the United States of America. And so we send and we support missionaries. We don't hate sinful people. The reason that one of the main reasons that we are here is to help to do our part in finding those lost people in our community that will listen to the gospel and then hopefully obey the gospel of Christ and enter in to an approved, loving fellowship that we have together. I'd like to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, and leave you here with something to think about. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And then look at verse 11. And such were some of you. And such were some of you. We don't know the details of all of our pasts. But I would suspect that we could say, I can surely say, that such was I. And certainly, probably, in all probability, such were some of you. We have all sinned. And one sin makes us worthy of death. Fortunately, again, not fortunately, by plan, we don't have to worry about that because our Lord Jesus Christ willingly redeemed us, paid the price that His Father demanded for our sins and for our spiritual life. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. Such were some of us. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Regardless of what your past has been, you have an opportunity this morning, if you've never done so, to obey the gospel of Christ. And everything will be forgiven. You can leave here with the peace that surpasses all understanding, knowing that you've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so Jesus is calling you. Jesus is waiting on you. If you need to come forward this morning and ask for the prayers of this church and the forgiveness of this church, then we'd like for you to do that this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ and you'd like to be baptized this morning, the baptistry is prepared We are prepared to receive you. The Lord Jesus Christ is prepared to receive you, and your Heavenly Father is prepared to receive you. Whatever your desire, please come while we stand and sing the song that's been announced.